It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Good morning. Welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Lincoln County Connections every Thursday at 9. And this morning, we are going to talk to Ono Husing. He's our Planning and Development Director. We thought we'd hit on a couple of topics today, offshore energy and marijuana. Ono, good morning.
Good morning.
Ono, we recently...
I'm sure people are saying, what does marijuana and offshore energy have to do with each other, right?
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because here are two functions that you've been very involved with. Of course, the planning department. Let's talk about why would these two things even fall under our umbrella via planning.
Okay. Well, I remember Casey was nearly 4 years ago when I became the director of the planning department. And I don't know, it was like maybe 5 or 6 months into me serving as the planning director, and Commissioner Terry Thompson, who everybody knows around here, has been a commercial fisherman and really is tremendously knowledgeable about the ocean environment and the fisheries and all these issues. He came storming into my office one morning, and he said, "Ono, you know, ocean planning is planning." And, you know, so what that means is I was tasked to follow these issues about offshore development. And you know, when he said that, he was actually quite correct. When it comes to at least the territorial sea, the first 3 miles, from 0 to 3 miles, that's managed by the state of Oregon. It's actually the subsurface is owned by the state of Oregon, and they issue leases or maybe issuing leases for energy development as the landlord. But the regulatory process for all that, although it's underwater, is land use planning, submerged, what they call submerged lands, and it is run by the same set of statutes, and issues related to the territorial sea go to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. And there are 19 planning goals in Oregon, and the last goal 19, is about ocean planning.
Yeah.
So, and look, the reason Commissioner Thompson, again, came storming in my office and instructed me to get involved again in these issues was we were facing, the key question was, was the community's voice in what happens directly off of our shore being adequately factored into the process? It's no more complicated than that. We can go into all these federal, state, yada, 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 but it really... The central challenge is, and question, difficult question is, when and how does a local government or the local people in a region really begin to influence state land policy and federal land policy? And you know, and I'll say this quickly without dwelling on it, this whole issue that's gone on in Harney County about how the federal government manages the lands there and this and that and the bumps and grinds with some of the local people that still live in places where there's a domination of the land around you is owned by the federal government. So federal land management policies are huge. I mean, for Oregon, it's a huge issue, whether it's the Siuslaw National Forest or the, in the case of the Malheur, you know, areas out there. I mean, the state of Oregon has huge swaths of public land. What most people don't pay attention to, though, is that just to the west of us, we have this incredible amount of state and federal land, happens to be underwater.
How many miles of coastline in Lincoln County?
Oh, isn't it about, was it 100? God, that's a good question. I don't know exactly.
But quite a few.
Well, the entire, I remember this from the old days, that even though it's an irregular coastline, there's about 350 miles of Oregon coastline. There are 7 counties. And under the Oregon Constitution, our boundaries go to the end of state jurisdiction. So we have this peculiar overlapping arrangement of actually our county's boundary ends at the edge of the territorial sea. But the land under the water and the water column is controlled by the Department of State Lands and the State Land Board and the various statutes in Oregon law that lay out how those things are going to be handled. So, yeah, and then beyond 3 miles, here's the playbook on this. From the water's edge, in effect, to 3 miles is controlled almost exclusively by the state government. And from 3 miles to 200 is controlled by the federal government. Now, as a practical matter, what really matters is, and this varies, there's not a linear line out there, but our continental shelf, right, the relatively shallow but still pretty deep water, goes out about 50 miles. Now, that varies considerably from place to place on the Oregon coast. And at about the 50-mile mark, the edge of the continental shelf ends, and there's an abrupt, huge, you know, the ocean basically becomes extraordinarily deep after that. There's kind of the continental shelf ends. There's an edge to the continental shelf, and then after that, it plunges into the deep ocean. And for all intents and purposes, you know, what happens with the federal government beyond the 50-mile mark doesn't mean that much, because you're not going to see, like, energy developments and things like that be really probably beyond the 50-mile mark. So we're looking at, even though there's a 200-mile limit, from the old days it was called the 200-mile limit, an exclusive economic zone, it's that first 50 miles that has a profound impact on our communities.
Yeah.
So I was interested in all this talk about the federal land issues that, you know, have hit the headlines, and they show... in the Oregonian and elsewhere, they'll show a map of federal lands in Oregon, and I think what's often missing on these maps is the huge amount of federal land just off of our shore that has an enormous impact, especially on Lincoln County, because we have such a important cornerstone to the fishing industry is here, and ocean research and all these kinds of this. You know, we are truly an ocean county, and so I think that's why Terry came in and, you know, really made sure that Lincoln County has to exercise leadership and frankly, on behalf of some of the other coastal counties that are, you know, are struggling financially in this. Now, we're a strong county, and we're able to, you know, have people like me also work with a number of people. We have the Fine Committee, of course. It's really important, the fishermen involved with natural energy. We have the NSAT Committee in Depot Bay, the Nearshore Action Team. So there's some additional resources and social capital here established in Lincoln County to provide an opportunity to engage the state and the federal government on these really important issues.
Ono Husing, he's the Director of Planning and Development. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Connections.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections on KBCH, KWDP, and KNPT.
Thanks for joining us on Lincoln County Connections. Ono Husing, he's our Director of Planning and Development. And we're talking about offshore energy. Ono, you and Commissioner Thompson, I know Wayne Belmont as well, spent a lot of time working on this letter to Bohms. Can you talk about why that was a significant effort on your behalf?
Okay, well, let's
so-called, what is Bohm? It's the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. It's a sub-agency within the Department of Interior, the U.S. Department of Interior. And I remember a comic a couple years ago said, only in the United States would they take everything that's outdoors and call it the Department of Interior, you know. And so the interior really means the outdoors. But the Department of Interior, U.S. Department of Interior, they have a tremendous amount of authority to lease the outer continental shelf for all sorts of purposes. Again, that area from 3 miles beyond. They are, on behalf of all of us in the United States, the landlords for an unbelievable... We're talking about billions of acres of land. And so the history that matters here, starting in World War II and after World War II, the oil and gas industry, especially looking at the Gulf of Mexico, the technologies for getting hydrocarbons, oil and gas from the seabed, really started to come on like gangbusters during the 1920s, especially during the 1930s. So as soon as World War II ended, the United States took a huge step forward with something called the Truman Proclamation, and declared that the seabed on the outer continental shelf belonged to the United States, and it was really about what they thought were going to be vast oil and gas resources in the Gulf of Mexico. And Franklin Roosevelt and some people even before Truman agreed that, you know what, we need to sort of step out at a certain point here, declare that we own the Gulf of Mexico with Mexico, and not deny abilities for ships to travel through there, but lay claim to the seabed and the resources, the hydrocarbons, the oil and gas under the seabed. That's what this was all about. So years ago, and there was a piece of legislation that later it was called the Submerged Lands Act back in the 1950s and stuff. But then it sort of changed its name to the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, the OCSLA or OXLA, and that law, I've called it in the past the most important law that hardly anybody on the Oregon coast or anyone in Oregon even knows exists, because until recently, it really has never come up as an issue. The last time these federal offshore issues really mattered were in the 1980s, when it looked like the Reagan administration was going to promote oil and gas development off of Northern California and the Oregon coast. And for the most part, people in Northern California were dead set against offshore oil and gas, and most people in Oregon didn't want offshore oil and gas because of the potential of spills and the effect that it would have on the economies and change the character of the communities. And so there was a big fight during the 1980s about offshore oil and gas, and that was our first wake-up call for a region like ours that had never even knew what the Minerals Management Service, the Department of Interior, really did out there. It never mattered until all of a sudden they, meaning the Department of Interior, wants to lease those offshore waters to somebody else to do something. And now all of a sudden it's like, huh, well, where do we fit into that? What kind of process is there for local concerns? And if you're going to do offshore energy, whether it's oil and gas or in the case of now this whole push for renewable energy, are we doing enough environmental work and an inventory work in advance to have a more modern approach to beginning to ask the question, how much offshore energy should we really be looking to have happen out there? And under what terms and under what scale and what kind of environmental monitoring? This is 2016, not 1916. In the old days, energy companies or mining companies would go on federal lands and sort of, you know, do prospecting, file a claim, and all of a sudden it's theirs. And so the central critique that Terry's bold letter sent out to the Department of Interior, this agency Boehm, was, we're not happy. We think that the program that the federal government is pursuing right now is borderline reckless in terms of how much ocean space they are planning to dedicate to offshore energy development. I know this is going to take people by surprise when they hear this, because very few people know about this, but the federal government has claimed explicitly, I mean, you can read it in documentation, they plan to have thousands of square miles of the ocean off of Oregon and Northern California be turned over and converted into wind farms. Now I pause, because when I've told people that, the first reaction is, well, that's idiotic, or that can't be true.
Yeah.
And the other question people often say is, why don't I know about that? And that's a really good question. Why don't we know about that?
Let's stop you right there, Ono. We'll take a quick break. Our last break, we'll come back with Ono Husing and tie up the conversation and some final thoughts. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Ono Husing, Director of Planning Development on Lincoln County Connections. Ono, when we left at the break, you just told us there might possibly be miles and miles of wind farms off our coast.
Thousands of square nautical miles of wind farms.
So you guys are out ahead of this, looking at this. You don't want the mistakes of the past to be the mistakes of the future. What's next?
Well, some people might be afraid that democracy is about to break out. that the the public, we've just, in fact, I'm really delighted that when Ginny Goldblish, you know, everybody loves Ginny in the community, from the fishermen, representing the fishermen's wives, she recently introduced Senator Wyden at a town hall here, and she built into her opening remarks that really thanking the senator for the tremendous work he and others did in our congressional delegation to save the helicopter.
Yeah.
But the other part of her quick message to the senator was, well, and Senator, we need your help because there's this strange agenda that doesn't take into account concerns about the marine environment and concerns about our fishing industry that very few people know about, that seems to be, you know, being kept under wraps, that will profoundly change our region. And we need your help to sort of try to make sure that if the kinds of development, because there is a place for ocean energy, there's no doubt about it. And this community, and I'm proud of it, has worked with OSU on researching wave energy technologies. And there are places where marine energy make a tremendous amount sense. I think the issue for most people, I am predicting they would not like the idea that we do thousands of square miles of utility-scale energy development offshore, especially when there are so many other alternatives onshore to produce electricity at 5 to 6 times less the cost, with very, very, very few environmental impacts, without displacing other industries, and without changing the character of this region to look offshore. And if we don't do something, here's what's going to happen. We may look offshore one day, and all of a sudden there's this huge wind farm popping up, and everyone's going to be looking at each other and say, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. And, you know, we may be on the wrong side of history. Maybe there needs to be thousands of square miles of wind farms off of the Oregon coast. I don't think so. I think there's what's exciting about renewable energy is PV, solar, and some of these other technologies are really coming on, and it's so exciting that the much more progressive and technological advances that are happening in renewable energy. I think when you compare, should we go offshore and do all this, are there other much more effective, cost-effective ways that don't impact the environment, don't change the character of our region? When you start doing that cost, start comparing, do we do it here or do we do it here? It's an open and shut case once you really get the facts. So we're beginning to talk to the public about this and talk to our congressional delegation. We've had very good conversations with Congressman Kurt Schrader, for instance, and he totally gets it, that we need to be basically reforming the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, for instance, and modernizing it. So, you know, I know Bernie Sanders has talked about the rigged economy. I think we're waking up to the fact that there's a rigged regulatory system out there that just needs to be modernized and corrected. And I'm actually feeling, people ask me, well, do you think we can change this? I said, I think we can, because I think the facts are on our side. It is 2016. And so many of these other federal laws have been modernized over the years. This is one really important federal law that is like a fly in the amber. It reflects what the oil and gas industry wanted 50, 60, 70 years ago, which is basically to have a free hand on the Outer Continental Shelf. So, yeah, let's work together. We're on top of it. And I think that you started the program talking about why would we be involved in marijuana or any of these other issues. I think people would be surprised that county governments and city governments, I love working at that level because we're where the rubber hits the road. We're the ones who are going to understand how these federal and state programs can really benefit us, or if they're not done well, how they're going to crash and burn at the local level.
Well, I appreciate that, Ono, and thanks for coming on. And, you know, if folks want to talk to you about these kinds of things, you're very easy to find. Go to Lincoln County's website, go to the section of planning development, and your contact information is right there. So,
yeah,
thanks for coming on.
And we'll work with the fishermen's wives and others. We're on top of it.
Ono Husing, Director of Planning and Development. Pleasure. Join us same time, same place next week on Lincoln County Connections.